We are broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance Committee on Finance and Revenue, Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue to order. It is April 28th, and we will start out by today by recognizing the wonderful work that Donita Bruce has provided for the committee, and she has found permanent employment, which this was not, and she's been replaced now with Doug Noyle, who is the one, I hope I pronounced your name right, Doug, but Doug will be doing the committee assistant duties from here on out. So welcome to the committee. So we will start out by calling the roll, and I imagine that will be Doug that does it today.
Okay, I wasn't quite prepared for that, but let's go ahead.
Well, however you want to do it. I didn't want to interfere with anything.
That's fine. Senator Finley.
Senator Finley present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner's present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist is present on audio.
And Chair Burdick.
Present by video. Okay, we have two bills on our schedule today, and we will start out by opening a public hearing on House Bill 2341.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is Jamie McGovern for the Legislative Revenue Office. House Bill 2341 came about after the wildfires of 2020, and this is both looking at the property damage and also going forward. So in a county covered by state of emergency, the tax collector that has knowledge or has reason to believe that property has been destroyed may prorate the imposed property taxes. And so what happens in this bill is a few things. It aligns the proration and tax collection reimbursement with both destroyed property and damaged property. There's a new computation method for property that is not specially assessed to align with the drop in the real market value that would have occurred due to the state of emergency, wildfire, or other acts of God. Yes, and then I think we have some members here to discuss that.
We certainly do, and we will start off with Representative Marsh and move from her to Representative Gomberg. Welcome, Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, I am Pam Marsh. I am the state representative from District 5. As we all know too well, the wildfires that coursed across the Oregon landscape in early September 2020 caused horrific damage across the state. When the flames subsided, we realized that approximately 4,000 homes had been destroyed and many other buildings. 2,500 of those homes were in the little towns of Talent and Phoenix in the heart of my legislative district. Hundreds of businesses across the state were also burned. In the weeks that followed, I started reaching out to experts across the state to understand what kind of relief we could provide to these property owners. In that process, I learned that the Oregon State Association of County Assessors had identified problems in the current property tax system that would result in significant inequities for some affected taxpayers. I met with the assessors, and then I pulled together a working group to examine the issue and vet the proposal. This bill is a result of that discussion, which included the League of Cities, the Association of Counties, the Home Builders Association, the Department of Revenue, the Legislative Revenue Office, the assessors, the county tax collectors, and several legislators, including Representative Gomberg and Senator Finley. In brief, House Bill 2341 proposes changes in current property tax law to provide more equitable relief to taxpayers whose homes or businesses are damaged or destroyed, either in a widespread disaster as the one that we had in September 2020, or as a result of a single act of God. The bill has four aims. First, House Bill 2341 will make changes to the proration formula used to recalculate the property tax bill after a structure is destroyed. Current law offers tax relief via adjustments to a property's real market value. Specifically, the current formula requires assessors to subtract the value of the destroyed improvement from the home's real market value in order to determine a new maximum assessed value. Now, the problem with this approach is that the adjusted RMV often fails to produce any or significant property tax relief because the new RMV may not be significantly different than the MAV, resulting in little reduction to the tax bill. In some cases, the new RMV may be even greater than the MAV, resulting in no tax deduction whatsoever. To repeat, you could have your house burned down and you could have 10 months left in the property tax year and you could see no relief. Instead, House Bill 2341 takes a much more straightforward and equitable approach by simply reducing property taxes proportional to the loss of value. If, for example, you lost your house and your house was a third of your real market value, your taxes will be reduced by a third. Simple and much more sensible. This change will ensure that all property taxpayers with damaged or destroyed property will see some reduction in their property taxes after a disaster. By the way, this is essentially the same calculation that is made by assessors for the full property tax years subsequent to the disaster. When a building is demolished or destroyed, creating a reduction in real market value, the maximum assessed value of the property is reduced to reflect the demolition or removal of the building. The reset of the MAV results in the same reduction to property tax as does this bill. Second, the bill will clarify that the month in which the disaster occurs is included in the adjusted property tax. The current proration formula requires the taxpayer to pay full taxes for the month of the disaster, as well as for the months preceding the event. House Bill 2341 changes the formula so that the month of the disaster is included in the reduced tax schedule. Third, the bill will adjust the timeline and process for providing bill adjustment in cases where a structure has been damaged but not destroyed, making it consistent with the approach to destroyed property. And finally, in cases where an emergency or a conflagration has been declared, the bill will empower tax collectors to proceed with the proration and bill adjustment without waiting for the taxpayer to file a request in cases where the property is known to be damaged or destroyed. And that is an option for the tax collector, but not a requirement. Colleagues, House Bill 2341 is a common sense and compassionate adjustment that can ensure that property owners who have suffered great loss are fairly treated by our property tax system. It comes to you with a unanimous vote on the House floor. I urge your positive consideration of this legislation. And I want to note that Joe Davidson, who is the Lincoln County Assessor and co-chair of the State Organization of Assessors, is here to present details on this proposal, along with some examples of how this all works. And thank you so much. Of course, I'm happy to answer any questions, but you've got an expert in the virtual room as well.
Thank you for your testimony. Should we hold questions till after Representative Gomberg, or would you prefer to answer them before that?
I'm happy to hang out with you as long as we're talking about this bill.
Very good. Okay, Representative Gomberg.
Well, thank you so much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For your record, I am David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon coast, and I'm so pleased to be with you today and here supporting Representative Marsh and the excellent work that she's doing on this and other bills to try and support people who suffered so seriously and significantly during the fires of this past year. And some of you may know that when the fires raged across Oregon, on the Labor Day weekends of 2020, that they went through my neighborhood as well, and that about a third of the homes in my own neighborhood were destroyed, as were about 350 homes in North Lincoln County, where I reside. And as we began to sift through the ashes and look ahead to recovery and rebuilding and restoring, we encountered an astounding problem. An unexpected problem, and that is the tax consequences of losing your home to a fire or another natural disaster. I mean, think about that for a minute. Your home is burned down, and now you're being taxed on the house that used to be there. That's just not right. And so I'm so grateful to Representative Marsh for leading the work group that brought us to where we are today. I also want to give again a shout out to my own Lincoln County assessor, Joe Davidson, who has also led the way in showing that Lincoln County is committed to this approach. I want to emphasize a couple of points that that may have been missed in Representative Marsh's very comprehensive presentation. The first is that we've crafted this in a way that that while the bill is not yet in effect, when you pass it and when it's signed by the governor, it will help people whose homes were affected last year. The other thing is that looking forward beyond the fires of 2020, we also want to consider not only wildfires, but other potential natural disasters that may affect not just Representative Marsh's neighborhood or not just my neighborhood, but all of your neighborhoods. And on that fateful day, hopefully a long time from now, when the ground starts shaking under our feet, we will have these corrections in place so that declared natural disasters will not result in tax consequences when Oregon looks to recovery. So I'm very pleased this bill is before you today. It's one step closer to the finish line. I hope you give it a nudge, take it to the Senate floor, read it quickly, and send it to the governor. Thank you so very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there questions for Representatives Marsh or Gomberg from the committee? I see no questions, so we will move on. You both mentioned Joe Davidson from the County Assessors and Tax Collectors. I have Eric Kanzler signed up, but we will invite Joe Davidson to make a presentation about this bill.
Madam Chair, should I take that to imply that I am going before Joe or after Joe?
Well, you're the one who suggested this, so if you want to keep it short, you can go before him. We have to be a little conscious of time because we are running late today.
I would be happy to do that, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Eric Kanzler here representing the county assessors and tax collectors, and again, primarily to introduce Joe Davidson, Lincoln County Assessor, and Osaka Legislative Co-Chair. Joe will do a, and there is a document online. I don't know if that's worth bringing up or not. Joe will walk you through that and describe the technical aspects of the bill. Representative Marsh already described the process by which the bill was devised. It was very thorough, it was very collaborative, resulting from recommendations we made, frankly, back when the fires were still burning in September. I just want to be thorough and let you know that internally, assessors and tax collectors, we vetted the concept with all of our colleagues in the impacted counties, with our full legislative committee and our full membership. And we're very proud of the work that all the parties have done to put this bill together for your consideration today. I will just hang out in case there are questions, but I'm happy to hand it off to Joe. He has the expertise to help everybody understand what this bill does. Thank you.
Okay, welcome, Mr. Davidson.
Thank you. Thanks, Eric, for introducing me. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and committee members. For the record, Joe Davidson, Lincoln County Assessor and Legislative Co-Chair for Osaka. I appreciate the opportunity to testify to this bill today, and I really appreciate Representative Marsh, Representative Gomberg, and others for really bringing attention to the issues presented with the recent wildfires and the statutory procedures, the hurdles that we have kind of recognized in ORS 308-425, which is what this bill addresses. And so I'm not gonna go over in detail. Representative Marsh did a great job kind of highlighting the three main points, administrative hurdles, as well as some of the inequities in current statute. But I did just want to point out from my own perspective as being an administrator in a county that experienced wildfire losses here in Lincoln County, that I can say that we've had a lot of properties that experienced damage, lost entire homes. But under current statute, the fact that there must be a loss in assessed value, not just a loss in real market value, and there's a difference between those two for each property, some property owners got no relief. And so the proposal to tying any loss in real market value directly to tax relief for the months of damage would really help out those victims, ensure that basically anybody that experiences damage and loss in real market value receives some sort of tax relief. Also, number two, the fact that there's two different timelines, we're not really sure why. If you experience just partial damage or complete destruction, this would align those two. And also, you know, I had appraisal staff go out and identify the properties in our county that were affected pretty soon after the fire stopped burning, and roughly 400 plus property tax accounts that were affected. However, the fact that we had to wait for an application from each of those individual property owners created this hurdle for us, where we had their properties identified, adjustments ready to go. However, we couldn't process that relief and send out refunds to those wildfire victims. So this would really help moving forward in the unfortunate event that this happened again. This would allow us to identify those properties and in one fell swoop, process refunds, get them out and move on, and not have to wait around for applications to slowly trickle in throughout the tax year. I did provide a kind of a one pager from our association along with some examples. I don't know how much time we have, but I do have some examples there. Basically, let me just throw out one just to hit on the basic numbers behind this. So under current law, you have a property worth $150,000. Okay, real market value. $50,000 of that is house value. $100,000 is land value. The assessed value in that case is only $75,000. Okay, so if you lose the house, your real market value is still at $100,000, which is above the assessed. So there'd be no tax relief under current law. Whereas if you tie it to real market value loss, really you're talking about a third of your property value reduced. That would directly be a third knocked off of your tax bill for the months of damage. So that's the basic concept behind it. I'll hang around for any questions you might have. Thank you.
Great, thank you for the presentation. I do encourage the committee to look at the supplemental information you offered on OLIS. Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. Davidson? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, good assessor. Could you give us just a quick example? I mean, we get out of session on July 1st, the law doesn't come effective until 1 October. As you mentioned, you have about 400 homes you've identified that have damage or one thing or the other. Under this new law, I mean, when would those people get that relief or a refund, do you think, since the law don't even come effective till 90 days after session?
Well, in our case, we've already processed, we have received applications from about 60%. We're still sitting on about 40% of those awaiting applications. So as soon as this law takes effect, we'll be able to instantly process those and send out refunds or at least a revised tax statement if the taxes have not been paid yet. Does that help answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah, that raises another question, Jamie. We talk about 90 days after the session, but is this a bill that we are not allowed to put the emergency clause on? Maybe Chris could answer that, or Jamie.
Chair Burdick, I think that's right. This has a revenue impact, and so I think that it's also backward looking, and I don't think there. Emergency clause would be applicable here, but Chris can speak up if I'm incorrect.
Just Madam Chair, broadly speaking, legislative council has been very fairly broad in anything that regulates taxation cannot have an emergency clause. So it doesn't necessarily depend any more than that. It's a very broad ban on the emergency clause for tax related measures.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers the question why we can't act sooner on this. So thank you very much. Senator Boquist.
Well, no, ma'am, it doesn't answer the question. It just tells us that legislative revenue wants to do X, Y, Z. I could give you a list of bills that we've done and said we need to act now, and they have successfully gone through the system and been enacted. So I don't think I'm in agreement that an emergency clause is necessarily prohibited. Thank you, Madam.
Well, that would be a question to pursue with Legislative Council, and we can certainly do that. Okay, are there other questions? I see no other questions. Thank you, Mr. Davidson and Eric. So now we'll move to Tyler Jansen.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tyler Jansen. I'm here today on behalf of the Association of Oregon Counties in support of House Bill 2341. Representative Marsh, Senator Finley, and Representative Gomberg all did an incredible job of reaching out shortly after the September wildfires and pulling together a really good stakeholder group to vet this idea. I was pleased to be part of some of those conversations. I was also extremely pleased to bring it to our AOC process and our revenue committee there. Eric and Joe both showed up to walk us through how this would work. There were some great questions had by commissioners. Obviously, the counties depend heavily on every single tax dollar that we get from property taxes, but I'm pleased to say that this concept made it through our steering committee process unanimously. I also wanted to highlight, just to touch once again on how important it is that this bill is prospective. It was shortly after the wildfires that we had really devastating ice storms across the state. Talking about acts of God, make sure that we're not pitting disaster victims against each other. We need this prospective fix to move forward. As has already been pointed out, this is a common sense approach that treats disaster victims equitably, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, are there questions for Mr. Jansen? Okay, I see no questions, so thank you. And we will next call Rick Dyer. And after Rick Dyer, we'll have Ellen Miller. Mr. Dyer, are you here? If you're on the phone, it's *6, correct, Chris?
Correct, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Hi, sorry, I couldn't get my video to work, so it'll be audio only. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. And I am Rick Dyer. I'm the chair of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners, and I'm here today to speak in opposition of House Bill 2341. While the Jackson County Board of Commissioners is very concerned with the full recovery of every victim of this devastating Almeda and open chain fires that occurred in our county, HB 2341 creates many potential issues that compel us to oppose this bill as written. These concerns were raised by our assessor's office team, the tax collector, and county council in our county. And upon a thorough evaluation of the provisions of this bill, I feel it's important to bring these concerns to you today. One is Jackson County has already processed about $4.2 million in prorations, and over $2 million in refunds have already been sent to taxpayers who paid their tax in November prior to the proration being completed. We expect a total by June 30th of about $4.8 million. We estimate the proposed bill would result in an additional $1 million in tax loss to the districts for tax year 2020-2021 for the cities of Phoenix, Talent, and Fire District 5, and others. They can't handle that loss and effectively serve their constituents, especially considering the additional costs associated with assisting victims recover and rebuild from the fires. An alternate system of funding fire victims through state dollars would be a much more mutually beneficial method of compensation, we feel. And though our proposed method, or the proposed method, has been described as requiring less work, our assessment team believes that it'll actually result in more work. And since it would be done at the height of certification where staff is already working overtime, it will potentially put the accuracy of our certification at risk of failure. From the tax collector perspective, it isn't any more difficult than current processes. However, the underlying issue is that it's so late in the game and her staff has already processed over 2,000 proations. There is literally a 3-foot stack of completed forms on her desk of account adjustments that have been processed through the system and refund checks written. Passage of this bill would require both departments to touch the accounts they have already processed. Cost to Jackson County is also sizable, with an estimated time of the assessor's office of 2,165 hours to complete the computations and 360 hours in the tax office to complete vouchers, adjust the tax, and issue refund checks. The tax office has experienced significant recent turnover and is minimally staffed currently as well. The estimated cost to process and issue state or issue refund checks through a third party is $2,885. In addition, very few accounts in Jackson County have a real market value that is much higher than the assessed value and maximum assessed value. So the use of overall real market value isn't necessarily useful or beneficial. And using the real market value would only add more complexity to the proations and a large percentage of the homes destroyed. There's also a concern that ORS 311.806 requires that refunds shall be made to the owner of record at the time of the refund. So those refunds on properties that have sold since September will not actually be received by the individuals that experienced the loss due to the fires. One thing that has been mentioned specifically that in Jackson County, the majority of the loss was in manufactured home parks. These are generally large landowners. As a tax collector, we are seeing the recovery as they're placing new manufactured in their inventory and then subsequently they're selling at a sizable profit. We saw one come in with an $85,000 inventory and transfer it $135,000. This fire has given them opportunity to improve their park and will likely profit substantially going forward with increased space rent and tenants with a greater ability to pay. While the fires were devastating and many people lost their homes, this bill is doing very little to help the true victims in that case. Better solution for Jackson County would to be to allow the tax collector to cancel all taxes on manufactured structures lost in the fire. It's predominantly for these reasons that the Jackson County Board of Commissioners has chosen to oppose House Bill 2341. And thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I have Shannon Bell, our tax collector, with just a little more information, if you'll indulge us.
Go ahead. Shannon, just introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, my name is Shannon Bell, and I am the tax collector for Jackson County. And unfortunately, Jackson County was not a member of the assessment team that Joe put together to create this bill. So we're coming in a little bit late. I do agree on the ability to prorate without forms. And I, as Rick said, I believe that all manufactured structures should have taxes canceled for the year in which they were destroyed. This bill would change the proration calculation procedures to be based on RMV rather than AV loss. It treats properties under governor declared disaster areas different than other destroyed property. Currently, the AV is used to figure the loss of property due to fire act of God, which isn't an issue for Jackson County since the RMVs are almost all much higher than the AV. We do adjust the MAV for the following tax year during our certification process based on the loss due to fire act of God. However, with House Bill 2341, it'll impact the MAV greater than normal since the RMV loss is a percentage of the total, which is applied to the MAV. We actually found a couple of instances where applying House Bill 2341 increased the AV of the land after loss. My biggest concern with this House bill is the devastation to our taxing districts. I totally understand wanting to help those who were affected by the fire, but why hurt the districts in which they live by further reducing their property tax base? The total AV loss to the county was $229,273,483, 79% of the affected code area. The RMV loss is $265,057,417, which is 91% of the affected code areas. As Commissioner Dyer mentioned, we have a total current property tax revenue loss of $4.8 million. We've already adjusted $4.2. Estimated that this change would add an additional $1 million to the $4.8 million. The city of Phoenix lost 73% of their AV value. They lost 92% of their real market value. The city of Talent lost 67% of their AV and 90% of their RMV. The fire district loss is estimated at over $700,000. They are currently a going concern in that area. The school district lost $1.2 million. In addition, as Commissioner Dyer mentioned, there's a huge administrative burden to the assessment and tax collector. My department has already processed over 2,000 prorations based on proration forms received under ORS 308-425, and we've issued over 1,500 refunds to taxpayers. It took us a solid 3 months with two people working full-time on them. We have almost 3,000 accounts destroyed in the county. All accounts, including the ones that have already been prorated, would have to be reprocessed. Between the tax collection and the assessment office, thousands of hours would have to be put in an environment of minimal staffing and at the height of tax certification. This puts the certification at risk for the county. In addition, we have seen a large turnover of properties where they've been sold. Per statute, refunds would be made to the new owner or the owner of record. So it's not actually helping the person who lost their home in the fire. Thank you.
Any questions? I'll have Shannon answer them. She has the technical expertise.
Thank you. I did have a question on the proration that you've already done. I wasn't aware of that, and I see Representative Marsh is still here in the room, and I'm wondering, Representative Marsh, if you considered that the potential duplication with proration that's already been done. I think you're on mute.
Thanks. Turned on my video, but not my screen. Thank you, Chair Burdick. We originally put this legislation together hoping that we could do it in the special session when it became clear that we were going to do it in the regular session. We consulted with the assessors to make sure that we would be able to reasonably accomplish that. And so I would defer to Joe. I mean, the message that we got from the assessors is yes, it was still worth doing and could be accomplished. And So Joe can speak to that perhaps better than I can.
Okay, Mr. Davidson, maybe you could respond briefly to that question.
Yes, we've tried to outreach to all the counties. I apologize for Jackson County not getting the message or not sending anybody into the conversation, but I did have wildfire work group meetings on this. Or we tried to vet this through all the counties to get feedback on that. There was the concern brought up. It is a valid concern that if you have processed some of these, tying it to a loss in real market value, the proration adjustment may result in additional refunds in some cases. So there is an extra burden there. However, I just want you to focus on this is a one-year headache. This is a statutory change. So if this happens again, there would not be dual refunds in future years. It's just a hurdle we would have to get through. And unfortunately, Jackson County is the outlier who has by far the most damage and the most number of properties to deal with these potential dual refunds.
Thank you. Senator Riley, you have a question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. It's about the statement about the wrong person getting the refund if the property's been sold. And the new property owner probably bought the property at the new value, and so they would be getting a refund on top of getting a bargain property purchase. So what about that?
Is that question for Shannon Ball, maybe?
Shannon Bell, I think she'd be better to answer that.
Okay.
Yes, although houses are not exactly going at a bargain here. Houses are going, there's competitive bidding. So, yes, the new owner would get the refund. So I guess it would be a reduction in sales price per se.
So, if I can, sorry about the noise. So what you're saying is houses aren't going for bargain prices, but there may not be a house.
Correct. But lots are going. I mean, we're selling lots at very premium prices right now.
The property in general is at a premium, and it just, in that case, the real victim doesn't get the advantage of the proration or the refund, and that's the issue that we're pointing out there.
Okay, let's move on to our next witness, Ellen Miller.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. Ellen Miller here representing Marion County in support of House Bill 2341. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today. Marion County wants to express thanks to Representative Marsh and to the work group for developing the property tax relief tool. The county intends on using this tool in response to future events. I just want to say that we remain grateful that there are multiple tools that we might be able to use in response to wildfire and other disasters. As mentioned, that the ice storm is another example of something that we might need to respond to. So thank you again for the opportunity to be with you today. Marion County encourages you to move House Bill 2341 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Questions, and I apologize for the noise. Okay, our next will be Mark Garst.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, Mark Garst here with the League of Oregon Cities. LOC really appreciates the work that Representatives Marsh, Gomberg, and Senator Finley did in bringing together a bipartisan work group, including taxing district, members of the Home Builders Association, and other parties. We're especially thankful to the assessors for bringing this concept forward back in September of 2020 when some of these fires were still burning. Like all Oregonians, we're really concerned about victims of the historic 2020 wildfires. And, you know, these fires were somewhat unique in how they did so much damage to so many of our cities across the state. Cities are going to continue to work on assistance for these communities. On the funding side, we've been able to work with Matt Garrett in the governor's office, and we're able to get some revenue backfill for the communities that were particularly hard hit and did lose tax dollars as a result of these losses that we've heard about today. On the policy front, we're looking at policy bills that'll look forward towards rebuilding, where we focus on defensible space and on home hardening, things that can reduce these fires from being so devastating in the future. LOC really considers House Bill 2341 to be a common sense solution that treats taxpayers fairly when they're victims of fires and other natural disasters. We certainly don't take lightly giving up revenue. If you've heard me before, you know that, you know, we really rely on property tax dollars. That's our number one source of revenue. But in this case, the notion that someone's house would be burned down and that they would not get any kind of refund, that's just it's not fair. And we really, you know, appreciate the work that went into this work group to come up with something that all the parties could agree to. So we are very happy to support the bill, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Questions? See no questions. We will move to our last witness, Scott Berry.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Scott Berry on behalf of the Oregon Home Builders Association, which represents over 3,000 members around the state. Our members in Southern Oregon, Lane, Marion, Lynn, and Clackamas counties have been engaged at many levels with their local communities to aid in the rebuilding process consistent with our principles and our mission. HB 2341 is just one of the many citizen-focused efforts to make sure, now more than ever, our government services are flexible and responsive to individuals in need and those who are impacted. We appreciate the efforts of Representative Marsh, Representative Gomberg, and Senator Finley, and many others, working with the state and local groups to identify those areas where an extra set of tools in the tool belt can help the state and local officials meet those individual needs. Proration of property taxes can go a long way to help consumers that must wrestle with insurance and cash flow as they try to rebuild from the fire. Thanks for your consideration on this measure, and we encourage your support.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Berry? I see no questions. And that completes our witness list, and I'm wondering if Senator Finley would like to make any comments since you were involved in the development of this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We spent several different meetings over the interim period. Representative Marsh, Representative Gomberg, the assessors, LOC, and it was a pretty well combined effort. I'm pretty dismayed that Jackson County feels they were left out of the process. But it was a good collaborative effort. We tried hard to include every aspect of the state in the protection of them, from the actual emergency declarations to the conflagration declaration. So I think it's a great bill, and I think we should move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you. That completes our testimony on House Bill 2341. So I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2341 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2607.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is Dave Back, Legislative Revenue Office. So House Bill 2607 exempts from construction taxes residential housing being constructed to replace residential housing on the lot or parcel of the land that was destroyed or damaged by wildfire or another specified emergency event or circumstance. And the bill applies to residential housing damaged or destroyed on or after January 1, 2020. And the step measure summary actually has some background information on construction tax. It's a local construction tax. It's not statewide. A school district may impose a tax on new construction. By new construction, it is new structure or addition that is increasing square foot to an existing structure. The revenues from this local construction tax are to be used for capital improvements only. And again, the step measure summary has some background information. And that's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay, we still have Representative Gomberg here. Welcome back, Representative. Please reintroduce yourself and talk about your bill.
Well, thank you so much again, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For your record, I am still David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Coast. I know that time is short, so I will try and be succinct in describing House Bill 2607. As you have heard, construction excise taxes are taxes that may be applied by school districts, which are designed to help them grow as communities around them grow. What we found in the aftermath of the fires is that districts wanted to waive this tax for people who had been impacted by the wildfires or other natural disasters. And there seemed to be a great deal of ambiguity as to whether they had the authority to not tax people. I'll say that again. In the aftermath of a fire, it wasn't clear that a school district could say, we don't want to tax you when you rebuild your house. Now, to their credit, most of the districts that were affected by the September fires went ahead and waived construction excise taxes. But in inquiring with our own legislative council, the opinion was that that if you're going to have the construction excise tax, and a district doesn't have to, but if they choose to, they must apply it uniformly, which is to say to everyone. So what I have done here is produce a measure which tries to remove that ambiguity and make it clear that districts don't have to tax people when they rebuild their property, or if they sell their property and a new owner decides to do construction there in the aftermath of a natural disaster. It's backdated to cover 2020, but also crafted in a way that it addresses future natural disasters. And again, as I said before, a part of a package that's designed to reduce the tax effects of trying to rebuild after a natural disaster. Glad that you've got the bill. Hope that you keep it going on its way.
Thank you. Are there questions for Representative Gomberg? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize, I didn't ask this the other time around because I was pinging emails back. And I already know the answer to this. I'm just doing the on the record. And you know, so the senator, this senator can have a conversation with that representative. I'm looking at the bill, and it does not appear to me that we're increasing taxes on anybody or we're collecting additional revenue. I mean, we're trying to help people out in an emergency, are we not? Do you see this as a tax increase bill?
No, Senator, I sure don't.
Good. Thank you. Correct answer, because we're having an argument behind the scenes right now on this issue. Thank you. I mean, Madam Chair, my point is I'm not sure. I don't see that either this bill or the previous one are actually tax bills in the traditional sense of the word in any manner whatsoever. I think they're emergency relief bills, and they're not intended to raise revenue or raise taxes or collect additional taxes. I just wanted that on the record. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you for putting that on the record, and we will definitely pursue that with legislative counsel. So appreciate that. Okay, are there other questions for Representative Gumberg? Well, you're the only witness signed up, and no one came in opposition, so things are looking pretty good for your bill.
And hopefully, Madam Chair, members of the committee, good for the people that were affected last September. So I very much appreciate your consideration today.
Thank you. So, committee, that completes our work. And again, want to express the committee's appreciation for the work of Donita Bruce. And Donita, we wish you your best, wish you our best on your future endeavors, and we will miss you. So, with that, Chris, is there anything else that we need to accomplish?
Not today, Madam Chair.
Okay, and we will not be meeting tomorrow. But we will be meeting Monday. So with that, we are adjourned.